With me now here in the studio is George Hurd. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for
having
me.
Good to see you. So we have your new CD here, which came out in February on the Innova label, which is a really great, great label. And you live here in San Francisco.
I do.
For the last 8 years. And you have the Hurd Ensemble. Tell us a little bit about, so this is electroacoustic music.
Very much
And
so.
Maybe for listeners who don't know what electroacoustic music is, let's do a brief introduction.
Absolutely. Well, electroacoustic music is very much a kind of combination or a wedding of both acoustic instruments, you know, mainly in my case, classical instrumentation. So a lot of it's very string heavy, violin, viola, cello, upright bass, piano. A number of other instruments throughout the ensemble, but that's the core group. And then electronics, which can take a variety of forms, but for just to simplify it, computers tends to be, that is the source of most of the rest of the sound. A lot of field recordings that I do out in the world, just collect.
Like, give an example.
Well, there are two pieces on the record. One is Fulcrum, one is Flux, and they were written as a commission for this German opera company a few years ago. And in order to write the piece, I kind of sourced sounds from Germany. I was there a few years ago with my then girlfriend, now fiance, Anna Singer, and we were out in a park late at night in her old hometown, kind of rural Germany, Bavaria, outside of Munich. And there was just construction everywhere around this playground, a children's playground. And so we kind of ran around with a recording device. And one thing I did was I used a stick to scrape, to do like long instances of scraping along a chain link fence with a wooden stick, or to get these like very, very creepy, bizarre squeaking noises from spinning some of the playground equipment. And, you know, things like that, anything you can imagine that would be unique to that place. So I come back and I manipulate the audio, I edit it, reshape it, do any variety of different things to it. And then in the compositional process, I combine, you know, more traditionally classical composed music with these sounds. But very much integrating them closely together in the compositional process. It's not like I write a string quartet and then put sounds on top of it. It's all together every step of the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to some of it. This is Four Went Down. Why Four Went Down?
Well, that was actually, it's actually a very, it's less about the words as it is about the words, what the words meant to me. there was actually a, when I was in high school, my sister had a friend who was dating a musician. And I grew up in the suburbs outside of Chicago, the south side of Chicago. And there was kind of a lack of, there was not a lot of music that I knew of at the time that was exceptional. You know, classical music in general was kind of not on my radar in a huge way just yet. I guess art music or anything experimental or anything outside of just standard pop rock stuff that you would hear on the radio wasn't really anything that I knew anybody was playing. But this guy was kind of my gateway into that world. And he would play these tapes when we would drive to and from school. And there were all these pieces of music that just mystified me and blew me away. And one of them ended up being a King Crimson song. But it took me years until like 4 years ago, maybe, to figure out who sang the song. But there was a line that ended up being Happy Family by King Crimson. There was just this creepy line that was Happy Family, one hand clap, four went down and none came back. And again, I had no idea who King Crimson was. I'm actually not a huge King Crimson fan in general, but after the fact, but it always stuck with me, this line, and the music is just so bizarre and just very, I mean, it's out there by many people's standards, but it always stuck with me. So when I finally found the name of that song, like there was just this essence that line meant to me. And when I wrote the song, there's just, you'll hear it can be, you know, dissonant at times. It can be, you know, very consonant and very, you know, positive sounding at times, but there's a certain, there's a decent amount of that creepiness in there, maybe a certain alienated quality that, I don't know, just I thought felt was kind of captured by those particular words.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Thank you.
Four Four Went Down. This is from George Hurd's recent CD, Navigation Without Numbers. It's on the Innova label.
Thank you.
That's Four Went Down from Navigation Without Numbers, the new CD by George Hurd. And this is the Hurd Ensemble, right?
This is.
The Hurd Ensemble. And it's just out on the Innova label. It came out actually in February. His website is georgehurd.com, and that's H-U-R-D, georgehurd.com. Yeah, that's great. Martin just called and said that it sounded like you were drinking with Xenakis and Ligeti, which is a great description.
That sounds like a good time, actually.
Yeah, rhythm is really important to you.
Very much so. I'd say more important than anything else, hands down, when I sit down to write a piece of music. I find more often than not, there's a certain, not necessarily like a pulse that I start with, but I find a lot of my ideas begin with a sort of, yeah, there's definitely a lot of syncopation, and there's a certain rhythm that will just surface from many ideas that I have. It's almost an instinctual thing. It's not always, you know, like, okay, you know, what rhythm do I begin with? It just kind of bubbles to the surface almost by accident a lot of times. And, you know, I played drums and percussion throughout my younger years, and that's really where I got into, you know, seriously performing and studying music. And so, yeah, percussion has just, it's laid the base for what I've done. And then, of course, getting into electronic music, you know, so much of it that you come to is just hyper rhythmic, pure insanity almost from a rhythmic standpoint. Mm. And those people that I was kind of raised on, these musicians like Aphex Twin or Square Pusher, Musique, people that I got into when I was, you know, a teenager and in college, their take on rhythm is just unbelievable. Like, I've never encountered anything like it before or since. And that really kind of set the stage for me. Not always, but often comes back to that with music.
And what genre do you call your music? Like, when someone says, oh, you're a composer, what kind of music do you compose? What do you say?
Well, that's a good question. It's a complicated one for a lot of musicians these days. But I lead with classical music because I think to the outsider, there's just the fact that I'm using, you know, string instruments and traditional classical instruments and composing in a fairly traditional way. A lot of people, I've been put into new music categories and classical composition categories because of that. But the electronics are an undeniably large part of what I do. And I think I tend to just say electronic classical music or classical music with electronics, you know, something kind of general, like, yeah, you know, but still gets to the point.
Let's talk about the musicians. So you have a quartet of violin, viola, cello, and bass, mm-hmm, which is not the conventional string quartet of two violins, viola, and cello. So you're sort of tending towards the low end.
Right. Mm-hmm. I definitely went bass heavy with this one, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think the traditional string quartet I love, and I've written for it many times and am a fan of, but I found that for music that is so percussive and so rhythmic, the bass really represented a necessity for me. I had been in some groups prior to this that had used upright bass, and, you know, it just so perfectly formed a foundation for what I was doing, and I think I just found when I was relying on the cello, for instance, for the lowest end of the spectrum, to be the bass element, I found myself wanting. I always was like just wanting to go a little bit lower and get a little bit more. And I also think there's something a little bit more powerful about it when you're using like just pits, just plucked bass. That really just, it worked beautifully with what I was trying to do, especially, again, on a rhythmic level. There are plenty of times where I miss that second violin and I want to go a little bit higher. But, some of the people on this record, you know, Jacob Hansen-Joseph plays viola on it, and that guy can scrape the sky with the notes on the viola. And I've never found myself, you know, really, really lacking in that department. So I found the viola picked up. I used to play viola back in the day, so it's got a place in my heart. And so I always have given it, you know, more prominent parts in a lot of the music. But yeah, it is unconventional, and there are times where it would be nice to find other groups who could play it maybe, but that's not how it's written, and it's not really possible anyway. So it's worked for me, and I'm very happy with it.
We're going to hear Navigation Without Numbers. And again, this is on the Innova label, the new album by George Hurd and the Hurd Ensemble. So Navigation Without Numbers has the violinist Carla Kilstedt, who is going to be in town this weekend for the new Frequencies Festival with Teresa Wong on cello. And I think is that Friday night?
Friday night. It is.
At Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. So tell me about Navigation Without Numbers, which we'll hear next.
Well, it was really written specifically for Carla Kilstedt. I've been friends with Carla for a number of years now. We met in 2010, and I've been working with her, and I consider her a very close friend as well. I met her right before she moved to the East Coast. She moved to Massachusetts. And I'm just completely floored by her as a musician. I've never encountered like a limitation with her abilities. She's just as far as I'm concerned, a different type of musical human being than most people I've met. And so anyways, we became very close, and I had a residency, composer's residency in New York for the New Spectrum Foundation a few years back. And so I was living on the East Coast, and, you know, it was really the point was to work on a particular project, and this was the one I chose to work on. And there were a lot of ideas that I got for the piece from conversations with her about things she had learned about how to play the violin in particular ways. She was in a band called Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum for many years. And she had said how she had learned to play the violin in a much more percussive way and in a very, very rhythmic way. And, you know, there were things like that that really, you know, stuck with me. And when I sat down to write the piece for her, I wanted to really bring up a lot of those. Not to dredge up ideas that she uses in her composition, because she's a really talented composer, but rather to take what I learned about Carla and create something tailored for her. And just knowing that whatever I gave to her would be no problem. Like, that's a beautiful thing as a composer to have somebody without those limitations. So, I wrote the piece for her, and she just learned it and recorded it in a few hours. It was a shockingly short amount of time and just did it perfectly. So, very proud of this piece, yeah.
All right. Let's listen to it. Navigation Without Numbers.
Thank you.
That's Navigation Without Numbers. It's the eponymous, I guess we would say, track on George Hurd's new CD, Navigation Without Numbers. A listener wondered, what is the story behind that title?
Well, it's actually it's the title of a photograph by a phenomenal photographer called Wynn Bullock, W-Y-N-N, Wynn Bullock. It's an old black and white photo of it's a very high contrast, like wooden old bedroom. And there's a nude woman who's like next to the bed with her head down, and next to her is a baby. And it's, you know, this, it's just a very striking image. And it always kind of stuck with me. I was a big fan of it. And the title was always beautiful. And when I was on this residency in New York and I'm working on this piece of music, I used a lot of, for the electronic portion of it, I used a lot of sounds that I recorded also in Germany. My fiance is German, so we go back there often to visit her family. But her parents live in a very, very old house. And I love all the doors and a decent amount of the floors creak wildly when you walk on them or use them. And there's one door in particular. I mean, it sounds like a horn almost. It's this like wild sound, or almost like someone's voice. The first time I heard it, it creeped me out big time. But so I got all these different amazing recordings of these creaking noises. So when I brought them back and I was using them for a lot of the electronic portion, you know, like finding a good pitch center for them and finding a place for them, like within the piece, there were just many, many just sonic ideas floating around with these samples. And at one point, I just felt like I was totally lost. Like I wasn't standing on solid ground as to how to work the violin cleanly into this piece. And the title of that photograph immediately came up, this idea of trying to navigate through this landscape with no reference point. It was just me and my ears and like no system to help me with whatsoever. And I kind of loved it. It was a very fun way to approach a piece of music. It just kind of stuck with me, and it really just worked well because also with the navigation, a lot of the recorded sounds, a lot of the electronic portions of the music, these sounds were collected on travels. A lot of them, you know, I can pinpoint with almost any sound on this record where it was recorded and what was happening at the time. And so it's very much like a travelogue, memory based. A lot of my electroacoustic and electronic music is this way, where it's kind of it's almost like a personal journal, cataloging experiences and things like that. So that just seemed like a fitting title for the entire record itself.
Yeah. Tell me about the musicians in the Hurd ensemble.
Absolutely. These are great, great musicians, and I've worked with them for years and consider them very close friends. So first and foremost, the violinist, Solène Séguillon. She's a very talented French violinist who's been in the group for probably less time than everybody else, but still many years. Anton Estaniel is the cellist. Great guy. I already mentioned Jacob Hansen-Joseph, the violist, and Ari Gorman is the bass player. Then you have Elise Weekly on piano. And those represent the core musicians in the group that have been with me since pretty much day one, more or less. And we're tight on a lot of different levels, and we just work well as a group. But then there's a slew of different other musicians on the record as well. I had done some almost demo recordings in Chicago. There's a track called Tethering Blind on the record that was recorded with almost entirely Chicago-based musicians, really talented people. And so those people are on there, but then there's some additional ones. Erin Wong plays cello on a great deal of the record, and she's just a killer cellist. Then you have Andrew McIntyre. He played vibraphone on a good deal of stuff. Annie Phillips, she played bass clarinet. There's also a little bit of harp on the Chicago track, which is, I have a lot of harp music, but it only made its way in a little bit on this record. But so the point is, you see that there's just kind of a sprawling group of musicians that are collected around a core group that I've been working with for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Great. And you have a couple local performances coming up?
Yeah, so we have the next thing that we have coming up is actually Undercover Presents, where this organization led by Liz Luke has put together numerous concerts where they cover iconic records by various artists and ask local artists and musicians to reinvent the piece of music, not do covers necessarily, but really kind of run with the ideas behind the songs. And so they asked me, they were doing Radiohead's Kid A, and they asked me to do Morning Bell. So I did this kind of inflated version of the piece for singer and then the core Hurt Ensemble group, plus we had vibraphone, steel pans, which our cellist Anton Estanel also plays very well and I love, and then a small bass clarinet section, and then our core group with electronics as well. So this time we're doing it with Joel St. Julien. He's a phenomenal composer, local composer, who's going to be singing on this live performance. But we're going to do the same arrangement as we did last time with a few extra bits thrown in. I'm going to rework the electronics, but it's a lot of fun. And there's probably over 100 musicians involved in the performance from all the groups throughout the evening. So.
And what day is that?
It's June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Independent. So that's going to be, it'll be a nice show and a very big show. So everybody seems to have a great time every time we do it. So I recommend that one.
What will we listen to next? All Falling Apart, I think, from your CD.
Yes. That's the last track. And it's a solid departure from a lot of what we've heard already. It's very arrhythmic. It's for six recordings I did of prepared pianos, and it's just a very drifting kind of floating piece in comparison with the others, and I like that. I find that I'm drawn to more extremes of music, and so, you know, I get very into the lockstep rhythm of the electronics and everything with most of my compositions on this record. So this one was really a reaction to that, where I wanted to go far in the other direction and just completely do away with rhythm altogether.
This is All Falling Apart from George Hurd's new album, Navigation Without Numbers, on the Innova label. Kind of short, All Falling Apart by George Hurd from his new CD, Navigation Without Numbers. Your website is georgehurd.com. That's George, H-U-R-D.com, all one word, georgehurd.com. And All Falling Apart from this new CD on the Innova label. Prepared pianos. They sounded like cymbaloms, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
I should say that they're on a few of the tracks, not all of them, but maybe two of them, I did some manipulation. I stretched things here and there on the recordings. So, but all of them were done in the same evening with just chains, light chains laid across grand piano strings.
Oh, okay.
So there is definitely a cymbalom-ish quality to it.
Did you use the same one piano or four different pianos?
The same one. I recorded all the tracks myself, yeah. So right. I repositioned the chain here and there. I tried to vary things as much as possible. But, yeah, it was just there was just one. It actually came about almost in an improvisational kind of way. I was at a studio with my cellist working on this piece, Vivarium, which I premiered last year for piano and electronics. I was just working out some ideas with it and trying some things. And I was like, can you just give me a few minutes? And I just turned on the recorder and just started laying ideas out one after the other. And then just kind of went back and assembled them all together. And yeah, I was very happy with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great. And why did you choose the Innova label?
Well, I had come across a number of phenomenal local artists that I'm close friends with who are on Innova who had really good experiences with them. So Dan Becker is the biggest one. Love Dan Becker. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
The Living Earth Show, mm-hmm. Mason Bates, who I'm very close friends with and work with. And, you know, all these people, they had just come back with, first of all, feeling truly at home on a label was something I had been struggling with because, you know, having, like many other artists, you've got this multiple genre take on music and, you know, finding a place for electronic music can be difficult, period. A lot of times when people say electronic music, they think dance music. And what I do couldn't be more different than dance music.
Although some of us think Pauline Oliveros.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. I think when I first encountered the search for the right label, it was like, well, it's not, maybe it's not classical enough for some people. Maybe it's not electronic enough for others. And with Innova, I just found a place where I felt like they really, really, I had hit my mark as far as finding a home, and they're really nice people and very dedicated to what they do. And so, yeah, it just seemed like the perfect place. And after a few talks with them, I solidified my decision to go with them, and I'm very happy with it.
Great. We're going to end with Locked in Place.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about this?
So Locked in Place is actually one of the earlier tracks that I've done that I did with the Hurt Ensemble. But it kind of got its name from, there's a very, you know, like, rigorous rhythmic setup that I have for this, and you'll hear it kind of each instrument comes in one at a time and is playing. Each one has just kind of an ostinato thing going on where they're just repeating this idea, and the other one comes in, and it's almost like a zipper the way it fits together. Everybody kind of comes in and has their very specific place that has to fit in relation to the other. They're not difficult parts, but they have to be played very specifically in relation to the other parts and the other players in the piece. So within that, there's very little wiggle room at all. They have to just adhere rigidly to this rhythm. And it was almost like a joke in rehearsal that it was, you know, you're just solidly locked in this one spot for this rhythmic idea. But this tends to be a more popular one in concert. It's a very rhythmic some even have said that it's a danceable thing. I would love to see that. Let's just say I have not seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Music by George Hurd from his new CD, Navigation Without Numbers, on the Innova label. That's Locked in Place with the Hurd Ensemble. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
Yeah, it's really good to meet you, and congratulations on this great CD.
Thanks so much.
I'm Sarah Cahill with you every Sunday evening for classical and contemporary music here on Revolutions Per Minute on KALW. Let's listen to Vladimir Horowitz. He's playing Stenchen, the serenade from Schwanengesang by Schubert, arranged by Franz Liszt on this CD called Horowitz at Home.